Reading is rather like a novel with a good ending, but it's not a novel, it's the Word of God, and it's very interesting. Boaz went straight to the public square and took his place there. Before long, the closer relative, the one mentioned earlier by Boaz, strolled by. "Step aside, old friend," said Boaz. "Take a seat." The man sat down. Boaz then gathered 10 of the town elders together and said, "Sit down here with us. We've got some business to take care of." And they sat down. Boaz then said to his relative, "The piece of property that belonged to our relative Elimelech is being sold by his widow Naomi, who has just returned from the country of Moab. I thought you ought to know about it. Buy it back if you want to. You can make it official in the presence of those sitting here and before the town elders. You have first redeemer rights. If you don't want it, tell me so I know where I stand. You're first in line to do this, and I'm next after you." He said, "I'll buy it." Then Boaz added, "You do realize, don't you, that when you buy the field from Naomi, you also get Ruth the Moabite, the widow of our dead relative, along with a redeemer responsible to have children with her, to carry on the family inheritance." Then the relative said, "Oh, I can't do that. I'd jeopardize my own family's inheritance. You go ahead and buy it. You can have my rights. I can't do it." In the olden times in Israel, this is how they handled official business regarding matters of property and inheritance. A man would take off his shoe and give it to the other person. This was the same as an official seal or a personal signature in Israel. So when Boaz's redeemer relative said, "Go ahead and buy it," he signed the deal by pulling off his shoe. Boaz then addressed the elders and all the people in the town square that day. "You are witnesses today that I have bought from Naomi everything that belonged to Elimelech and Chilion and Mahlon, including responsibility for Ruth the foreigner, the widow of Mahlon. I'll take her as my wife and keep the name of the deceased alive along with his inheritance. The memory and reputation of the deceased is not going to disappear out of this family or from his hometown. To all this you are witnesses this very day." All the people in the town square that day, backing up the elders, said, "Yes, we are witnesses. May God make this woman who is coming into your household like Rachel and Leah, the two women who built the family of Israel. May God make you a pillar in Ephrathah and famous in Bethlehem. With the children God gives you from this young woman, may your family rival the family of Perez, the son of Tamar, born to Judah." Amen. God's.
That's a lovely wee song, wasn't it? "Draw me close to you." Is that our prayer? Yeah. "You're all I ever have needed." That's true, isn't it? You know, I look at friends, I look at family, and I think, how can they survive without knowing God? "You're all I need. Draw me close to you." Lovely song. Well, the story so far, I mean, Val was right when she said it's like a novel. I said it's like a soap opera. But yes, it is the Word of God. But it is different. And I'm really glad we used that version of the Bible today, because it brings it right up to today and what's happening. What happened in the story so far? Well, we had a nice wee family. Mum, dad, two sons. They were given a special place in the land that God had chosen for them. They were above everybody else socially. They were living very well. But they decided they wanted to flee the famine, and they went to the country of Moab. Didn't ask God. Didn't think it was God's direction. God had nothing to do with it. They just wanted to go somewhere where the grass was greener. So off they went, and was everything hunky-dory? No. And that's quite often happens when we do things off our own back. It doesn't quite work the way we think. They got there, and of course, Naomi's husband died. So she was left with no income and to look after her two sons. And they're foreigners. In this land, they don't believe in the same God. They believe in multiple gods. So they were very isolated, looked down upon. But in a few years' time, the two boys, they get married to local girls, which again was frowned upon. Different religion, different culture, different everything. That went on for a little while. And then, in the next chapter, the two husbands died. So Naomi's in another state. She's got to find food for herself and for her two daughter-in-laws. And she said to the daughter-in-laws, look, I don't have a hold over you now. Why don't you go back to your own families, find yourself husbands, whatever you want to do. One of them did. And Ruth, who the book is named after, said, I'm going to stay with you, my mother-in-law, Naomi. And at that point, they decided to move back to Bethlehem. Again, there's no word of them asking God or what they should do. They just decided to do it. Now, they arrived there, the morning they arrived, Ruth went out to look for a job. And she was gleaning from the harvest the bits that people left behind and taking it home to eat, which was perfectly permitted. But she met the farmer guy, Boaz, and she said to him, look, I would really like a permanent job. And he said, yep, you've got it. That's great. And that was really nice. And we know that Boaz was a very nice man. He was nice to all his staff and nice to everyone. He was that man above reproach. And he was a man who believed in God and worshipped God. But Ruth and Naomi weren't really at that stage at that time. But then watch this space. Ruth went to the threshing floor, and that was a place we understand of worship, apart from a place where they stored the grains. And the harvest was finished now, so there was a lot of grain in the threshing floor. And Ruth went while Boaz was sleeping. Very unusual, this, isn't it? Laid at his feet, then asked if he could lift the covers up and put over her at his feet. And this was actually her asking him to marry her. I mean, I know it's the 21st century and women are allowed to ask people to marry them, but this wasn't then. This was a long time ago, and what a strange custom this was. Everything seemed fantastic until Boaz realized, wait a minute, we're not doing what's right. There's a sort of order in line. There's an etiquette to follow. And there's actually another guy that's before me in the queue. He's rich. He's a redeemer. He's a kinsman. He meets all the right categories. And he's young and he's good looking. You really need to go after him first. So that's where the story starts, if you like, today. And this is our last episode. It's a story of someone going to great lengths to get a blessing from God. Have you ever done that? Tried your hardest to do everything you can to get a special blessing on whatever you're intending to do. Have you ever watched the movie, I'm not telling you to watch it because it's not worthwhile, called Meet the Parents? Anyway, Meet the Parents is a story of a very arrogant family, and a young man wants to marry the girl in the house. So he goes over for a few days and tries to do his best to get the father of the house to like him, to give him his blessing. Do you remember it? And he really pulled out all the stops, did everything he possibly could. And Bride's father was just so awful and didn't pay any attention. In fact, he did the opposite. He checked up in his background to see who he was, and it was dreadful, but he tried. And sometimes, this is the story. Boaz is trying his best to get God's blessing on the situation. And this story, I'll tell you now, is going to have a great conclusion. Ruth proposed to the older man, Boaz, and he said, "Yes, I'll accept." And he was thrilled, but he pointed out this snag, that there's a younger, more able man that has the right before him. Wow. So, the next morning, right after the proposal, Boaz went into town early in the morning after Ruth's proposal. And we just read that, didn't we? What happened then? So Boaz went to town. Just outside the gates, there's a big area, and that area is left there for business. So he knew that, and he knew people who were passing. And the first guy passed was this other young guy who was eligible, this kinsman, this redeemer man. And he said, "Come over, have a seat." Then he saw the elders passing. He said, "Please come over, have a seat and listen to what we're discussing." So the stage was set for this legal conversation. Wow. And he said to the young man, "Do you want this situation? Do you want to be the redeemer?" And he said, "Yeah, I would love it. I'll buy it." So, we're not there. Boaz pursues his desires with integrity, but we're not there. No. Next one. Right, there we are. So Boaz pursues his desire with integrity. Now, this kinsman, this redeemer, this young handsome man, we're not told his name. I don't know why that is, but we'll call him Mr. Thingamy. It's much easier to pronounce him. So Mr. Thingamy has the right, he has the obligation to buy this land and the debts of Naomi and her family. Boab was very upfront. He wanted to do things properly, above board, by the proper channel. That's why he met at this gate, so that they could commence these legal proceedings. And the elders had powers like judges, so that's why they were there. So they were listening to the situation. They were listening to what was going on with Mr. Thingamy as well. Keeping the land and the family was very important indeed. Because you remember, who gave them this land in the first place? God. They're in the promised land that God gave them. So they had to try and make sure this land was going to stay in their family. So this is what's happening. So it was Mr. Thingamy's responsibility because he was the first man. So I'll read you what was last week's. He said, "God bless you, my dear daughter. What a splendid expression of love. And when you could have had your pick of any young men around, And now, my dear daughter, don't you worry about a thing. I'll do all you could want and or ask. And everybody in the town knows what courageous woman you are, a real prize. You're right. I am a closest relative to you, but there is one even closer. So to say, the rest of the night until the morning, if he wants to exercise his customary rights and responsibility at the closest covenant redeemer, he'll have his chance. But if he isn't interested, as God lives, I'll do it. Now, go back to sleep until morning. So, that's the situation that Boaz had with Ruth the night before. Now, what he's saying is not stupid. What he's saying is integrity. I can't just marry you. I have to do things the right way, and there's somebody else ahead of me. Integrity. Integrity means doing what's right in the right way, even when nobody else is looking. Do we understand that integrity in our lives? Sometimes we want to do things right, sometimes we say things right, but there's nobody looking. We'll just cut a few corners here. So Boaz wants to marry Ruth, but he said we need to do things properly. We need to have the right relationship, the right thing to do, the right way. We might be thinking, what is he doing? He's got a great opportunity here. He's going to lose her if that's the way he's going to do things. Of course she's going to want to go with the younger guy. It's only a few rules, there's only a few traditions, there's only a few laws that we're bypassing. Let's just do it. That's what we would think. Our next point, John. God wants to pursue our desires with integrity. As in our culture, we have watered down the word integrity quite a bit. We say things like, well, the end justifies the means. Does it? No. Or, if it seems right, just do it. No. We can cut corners. But, you know, they were really in love, so let them do what they want. They were right for each other. No. It's only a couple of rules you'd be breaking. That's not the way Boaz saw it. Boaz said we have to follow God's rules with integrity. God wants us to do everything with integrity. When we do things with integrity, as he was doing, it shows that we're trusting God. Do we understand that? If we want to do things his way, it shows we're trusting God for the outcome, because he knows what's best for us all, does he not? Wow. But when we start to cut corners or do things our way, we're saying, I don't need God. All of these things were really important for Naomi and Ruth to see, because they had gone away from God a bit. And by him, by Boaz doing everything that was right in the eyes of God, they're going, wow, this guy is honest, we can trust him, and he loves our God. Wow. He was wanting to show his integrity, that he wasn't a hypocrite. Integrity means wholeness. It means being undivided. You're not of two minds, but one mind. When we act with integrity, we demonstrate our convictions and our values. And they're more than just words. Do you understand that? If we do things differently than what we're saying, we're hypocrites. Doing what's right in the wrong way doesn't work. We need to do it wholeheartedly, following God's. Our next point, John. Integrity in our pursuits brings God's blessing. If we want God's blessing, we'll want to please him in what we're doing. That integrity again. But when we start to do things in our own way, it shows that we've wandered off a wee bit from the centre of God's will. We need his integrity to keep us on track. So Boaz is seeking God's blessing. He's pursuing a relationship first with God, then a relationship with Ruth. That integrity. It's easy to have integrity when things are going the way we want them to. But Boaz was sure and certain to do things right and wanted to explain to Mr. Thingamy what was going on. And it says here, then Boaz added, you realize, don't you, that when you buy the field from Naomi, you also get Ruth from Moabite, the widow of our dear relative. Along with the Redeemer, responsibility have the children and her to carry on the family inheritance. So there's more to it. There's more to it than just buying the land. You're going to gain Naomi and you're going to gain the rules that follow that. So a kinsman shows the lack of commitment. He wanted Naomi's land because it was a good deal, it was a good price. He wasn't sure about Ruth, but the law obligated him to marry Ruth. Wow, that's quite something. And he changed his mind. Because if he marries Ruth and she has a son, the son takes on the name of Ruth's first husband. Are you with me? As if it's his, even though it's not his. So he has the right for the land. It's his name that will carry on the inheritance. So in order for this guy to have any gain, he'll have to have a second son, which then will be his. Isn't it really complicated? Apart from lining up somebody's feet, we've got this to deal with as well. So now that Mr. Thingamy has cottoned on, it's more than just redeeming the land. It's redeeming Ruth, redeeming Naomi, redeeming any son that might happen. Wow, goodness me. And he says, no, I can't do that. That's nice and honest of him here now. But it shows his lack of commitment. But you see, Boaz comes to the front now. Now, he wasn't trying in sleeked. He wasn't hiding in behind his back. That's why he invited the elders to be there. That's why he invited everybody to watch what's happened. But Boaz was noted for his generosity and for his kindness. He was noted for willingness to do the will of God. But it was all that conversation was witnessed. He is more than willing to do it. So there we have the transaction. And our last point is commitment in our pursuit brings God's blessing. Well, we weren't blessed. Boaz was committed to doing what was right. God's blessing is poured out on Boaz because of his integrity, his honesty, his commitment to his God. And as a result of that, that was a witness to Ruth and to Naomi. And now we're all looking at God. Gathering of witnesses, they support. And look at the blessing that they prayed on him. They poured out a blessing on Boaz and Ruth and their family, that Ruth would be faithful and blessed as Rachel and Leah, the mothers of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's quite a blessing. That Boaz would be well known, highly regarded and successful. Lovely blessing. That their descendants would be significant as Perez. Perez was Boaz's ancestor, the most significant clan in Judah's family. That's quite a blessing. And he deserves that blessing for doing what was right and following God's instructions. His integrity, his commitment, and expected God's blessing. So it's a really good story, isn't it? Everybody lived happily ever after. And the happiest bit was that God was in the centre of their relationship. Lovely story of God's faithfulness, keeping them safe, keeping them in the palm of his hand until they were ready to turn to him, which they did. Lord, help us to turn to you. In all our situations, Lord, whatever's happening in our lives, help us to remember that you have us in the palm of your hand, that you're guiding us. Help us to realize that, that your hand is in our hand, that you're leading us forward to blessings of abundance. Thank you for this story. Thank you for your living word that you bless us through each and every day. Amen.